for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thursday evening, December the 30th, 2010. Richard Tate is the speaker of the evening, teaching on To Those Who Have a Heart to Know.
I just really enjoyed, and not to take it away from anybody else, but last night, night before that, just so many things that I've had in my heart, you know, to hear it confirmed. Because I tell you, I get so mad. There's no flesh. Whenever I read 1 Thessalonians 4, and they put that chapter mark between 4 and 5, because it's not there. You miss the whole boat if you do that. And people like to do that because they don't want to pay the price. They don't want to stay awake. They don't want to be children of the light. They kind of like to be children of the gray. You know, and figure God, you know, it's kind of like God's got a place for us gray folks. But He don't. I mean, Howard scared me the other night, I'm telling you. He put the fear of God in me. I thought, my, I'm in bad shape. If they turn you away, I'm in real trouble. Because I already had that experience with God one time where I was, and you all, most of you know me, know that, you know, I was praying, minding my own business. That's my favorite theme. I wasn't bothering anybody. And the Holy Spirit shined that light on me. And I could see the shadow of the Lord somehow. And that light was coming down, and it was nice for a moment, and then it began to penetrate, and it was deadly. It wasn't a life-giving light; it was deadly. It began to expose things, and I was reaching. Let me tell you, I was reaching. I was throwing stuff up. How about this, Lord? I was trying to get to stop. You know, my good works, and every one of them, I can't tell you. He just shined down and says, "This is where that come from." I was astounded. Some of my really good works, my stuff that I already knew, I was just doing for God. He says, "Not doing for yourself. What you were doing for? You were doing it for me. You may have thought you were and acted like you were," he said, "but deep down inside, for you." And it was, I had a bed. And I was living by myself in a little $50 a month room, and I had a bed. It was about that half the floor, about like that. I'd say about like that. Yeah, it was really slow. And when we got done, I was under it. The thing was on my back. The wheels were not on the ground. And I had screamed, "Stop, you're killing me." And those of you who read Reese Howell know, you know, that was the wrong thing to say. You're supposed to say, "Kill me." You know, because the Lord told him, "Well, you know what you missed." And he says, "No, what I missed is you missed the martyr's crown because you wouldn't take death." And he says, "Kill me. I'm ready." I wasn't saying that. I was still hurting. I'd never seen anything. I didn't know God could do that. And I thought, when we get there and stand there, you know, He's going to just take and just turn us inside out. The judgment seat of Christ, you know, that's a scary place to be. I don't think anybody will get through there without some burning, honestly. And I'd hate to have 30 years of it burned in front of me. Get saved, but my goodness, what you go through to get there. But He's going to have a pure people. It's going to be expensive. Well, we're going to talk about some stuff now. I heard some things about something I said the other night, and somebody mentioned something to me about, I was saying something about God's going to bring a people into the Holy of Holies. And I remembered that, although I spoke on that several times here, I don't think I ever have in a camp. I thought the Lord began to show me that we could do that and there a couple of other things with it, and we'll just see how that goes, because I never know how it's going to go. This is kind of the most notes I've had that I could really say are there. And I could do this probably without notes, but there's probably some things in here if I can see them, I would miss. Anyway, we're gonna do a little thing about the tabernacle in a few minutes. Before that, we want to do a little thing to kind of get... I know most of you know this is going to be old hat. And this is pretty basic stuff, because that's what I do, is basic stuff. God spoke to me real early. The key to everything is communication. If you're not communicating, forget it. You don't need 50-cent words, because there's people out there that can't understand them. And so you just did not communicate with that person that I'm trying to save. And he'd ask me, you know, I told you that, I think. He asked me one time, "Would you ever be talked to or yelled at?" And I said, "Talk." He said, "Then talk to the people." But I'm a yelling kind of guy. I can get moving pretty good here, you know. Even at 71, I can still do it a little bit. Anyway, and I really liked that, see. And I said, you mean just stand and just talk? Just not nothing, not get into it? That's exactly what I mean. So that's been my rule for almost 40 years. Just stand and talk. Now, I can talk pretty good. They'll tell you. I don't talk and work. When I work, don't bother me. Don't bother me when I'm working. When I'm talking, don't bother me either. I do one or the other. I'm not a multitasker. Anyway, in Exodus 19, verses 3 to 6, I just got to read these things if I can. I have my binoculars, I read them better. I'm in the King James. I'm with Howard. It's God's Bible. One of them. You know, I'm just glad, you know, that nobody backslides in these Bibles. That's what I'm glad about, you know. I missed the tears, and I tell you, I missed it, and I see where that was a mistake. And I'm gonna mention one tonight that my translation got right and nobody else did. Hallelujah. I think every now and then, see, these different translations get something right that everybody else gets wrong. If they could just get it together to where it's only one, I'd be very happy. Every one of them has their places that are really good. I like to teach from the NIV only because it's not too bright. And it's real simple. I don't have a hard time understanding it. I like Philip's New Testament translation because it's in paragraphs and he just talks. I like that real well. I can understand it easy. Some of the things he says in his translation is kind of hard to bear with. I mean, for religious people, but... You know, when Peter told, what was his name, Simon? Sorcerer? You know, his literal translation, when he talked about his money, he said, you go to hell with your money. So he told him, literally. He said, literally, he says, that's what he told him. You go to hell with your money. You're not buying nothing here. There is nothing for sale in this kingdom. It's free to get you in. And then after you get in, you will find out that's the end of the free stuff. From now on, you want something, it is going to cost you. Now, we don't mind paying change and small bills. When we give them big denominations, we really ain't too good on giving them up. We kind of like it, you know. We've got, I don't know what we call it, Pentecostal charismatics, or just crazy. But we've gotten to a place, you know, to where we're close enough that we're feeling like we're in there, we're spiritual, and God's using us, and everything's going great. And yet we know if you go much closer, it's going to really, really cost. And you kind of think, maybe I can stay in this spot right here and I'll love everybody. They'll love me. God will love me. But after hearing Howard the other night, I don't think that's going to work. I know it's not going to work. I thought, well, the hundredfold people, that's for them. I like to be a little spiritual. I'll be a 60. That's fine with me. But I'm saying, you know, either you're in or you're not. It's a terrible time we're coming to. We talk about the tipping point. I think we passed it a long time ago. I remember in the early 70s, it was an amazing thing. I worked for the for Sheridan Corporation in Palace Hotel in San Francisco. And it amazed me that the Japanese came over here to sin. It always amazed me. Because the first thing them guys did when they got on the bus, wanted to know where the porno movies were at. They had a tour that took them. That's where they took them. Because, see, it was illegal in Japan. I'm heathen. They couldn't do it at home because it's illegal, immoral. So they come over here to God's country, and everything's legal. I thought, you know, I think we are already over the hill here. You know, it got to a place, I will get to my text, it got to a place with Jeremiah, you know, and I think we got to a place here, and I probably shouldn't say this, but you know, whenever I say that, I always end up saying it anyway. I think we got to a place, when Jeremiah got to a place to where no matter what they did, it was too late. It got to a place that they could repent all over town. It was too late. God said, that is it. It's coming. I don't care what you do. And the thing is, if my people will humble themselves and pray, well, he might save his people. But see, in the Bible, it was always the leadership of the nation that he talked to. It was Zedekiah. It was the big shots. He said, when you guys turn, you'll take the nation with you. But if you don't turn, those people don't matter because they're not running the show. And I found out in this country, that's pretty much how it is. I thought we were running things. But I found out we're not running anything. We're just kind of along for the ride. And then I was amazed that in the biblical times, they never seen, you know, you never hear Paul and Jesus, you know, mad at the Romans, and I'm going to get them Romans, I'm going to, you know, they didn't care. They were concerned about the kingdom of God, what God was doing with his people. We've got to get back, especially us. I'm going to share that, especially us. Now, if you belong to the First Baptist Church, that is wonderful. I'm telling you, that's great. And do your First Baptist Church thing. And it's fine with everybody. But if you someplace else, you've got to do something else. You just can't go there, and we'll get there in a couple minutes. Anyway, 19, Exodus 19, verse 3, it said, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and I brought you unto myself. That is a major key. I brought you unto myself. I didn't bring you to Mount Sinai, the prom. I brought you to me. I want you with me. I started this whole thing out with me and man. And I haven't changed my mind. I'm not looking for you and someone else or you and some. I'm looking for you and me. You and me. That's all I'm looking for. All right. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. He called them to be a nation of priests. Period. And anybody that gets this thing in there about kings and priests, they're in the wrong Bible. He called them to be a kingdom of priests. And all the scriptures that we're going to show in the New Testament, it's all coming off this quotation right here. This is a reference point. This is where he first said it to Israel. You're going to stand between me and the nations of the earth. You're going to be my buffer, so to speak. You're going to speak on their behalf to me, and you're going to speak to them for me on my behalf. You're going to be my people in between. And God has not changed his mind. But in Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 23, we read this. And it came to pass, Moses is speaking, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God have showed us his glory and his greatness, and we heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Whoa! Isn't that fantastic? You'd think that would be, you wonder, so where does that put you? You'd think, well, I'm in pretty good shape. We lived through that. But the next thing they say is, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. See, God doesn't qualify people. People disqualify themselves. To be a priest, you have to hear from God. You can't have your super-duper study text. You got to hear from God. It's a key. Because you have to relate to the people what God is saying to you. That's why in the New Testament call them ambassadors. What's an ambassador? He's a message boy. He don't go over and said, he's like a news editor now, here's my opinion. He goes over and he gives them exactly what he was told to give them. And then he receives the answer and go back. But he didn't say, and furthermore, on the side. You know, he doesn't do that. So they disqualified themselves from the priesthood. So God chose one tribe. And now that one tribe, he chose one family to represent him. And that's how it went. One family to be his priest. And that's another key. He chose one family. In Acts 15, well, I'm multi-Bibling tonight. I may be multitasking here. In Acts 15, and I promise you I won't be controversial, I will stay within the limits, in the confines. I'll be a good boy. Maybe. Well, no, I will be. I'm not going there. Acts 15, verse 12, he says this. Then, this is when they had their first big council in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas were there, and there was a big thing about the Gentiles, or whatever you want to call them, keeping the law, and they weren't doing things right according to the Jewish traditions, and so they had the big meeting. And then he says then, verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they held their peace, James, answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue or the rest of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. In this passage, he's restoring his presence to his people. Because that's what the ark represented. It didn't represent anything but the presence of God. Right there with you, presence of God. He said, I'm restoring that to this people. Not just this Jewish people or Hebrew people, whatever you want to call it, but I'm restoring to every believer. I'm restoring myself, my own presence, to all the church. And I won't go any farther. I'll leave that alone. We'll move on. Before I get in trouble. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter takes it up. Interesting. This is what John was talking about last night. I like that one, what he said last night, and I'll get into that a little bit for a minute. Just in I'm just going to start reading from 2:1. Probably do better if I try chapter 1. I'm going to go back. I'm going to do 22, chapter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know, we have our problems just loving each other. That's not the commandment. It's fervently with all you got. We are the family. We're probably the only real family in the earth. The rest of them are heathen. No matter how you cut them. Put them wherever you want to, but they're all heathen. But we are a real family. And we're going to find that out shortly. I think I might have shared that one time. In fact, I was talking to somebody about this today. There was a lady, well, they're not on anyway. Hi, Internet. Anyway, her and I used to bump heads a little bit about every meeting, every time we ran into each other. And Lee Ellenwood, most of you know him, and some of you don't, but anyway, he used to come to our home all the time, and we used to go down to Los Angeles every time I'd come off the road, and he'd unload, and we just had some great times. Well, her husband, she was a Jezebel, and her husband was an Ahab, but I don't know if he ever got his way. He just was quiet, never just, and he was our tape man, and in those days, we did reel-to-reel and 7-inch reels, and then he'd do something with them. And because Lee never wanted tapes. He never wanted his messages taped. He says, look, at 10 minutes from now, I may not even believe this stuff I'm preaching now. So just don't tape me. But I did. Because the stuff that he was teaching just never did ever get old. He wasn't teaching this time stuff. What he was teaching was timeless. But we used to go at it. And in those meetings, she would be very quiet. Because I wasn't as mellow as I am now. Let's just put it that way. When I heard something wasn't right, I didn't really care who was saying it. I just I'm up and at him, right? Just and Mara's backing me up, getting the car running. I just didn't care. I was full of zeal. I didn't care. You said it wrong. I mean, I just was after you. That's all. And if you're after me, that's fine with me. I can repent real good if you got me. But you know, I never was a Bible studier. So I read it like a book. But God just gives me this stuff, and I'm telling you. I can tell you from my experience myself, none of this stuff did I get, and it ain't mine. I just get up here and he just gives stuff, and I'm amazed, and that's why I always say it's written, find it yourself, because I have no idea where it's, but I know it's there. I just have no idea where. You know, I can say Old Testament, New Testament, maybe, you know. You go to concordance, do a little work for yourself, you know, you make those poor preachers, you know. You make those guys work too hard. You want it all laid out. You know, the appetizer, the main course, the dessert, you know, and the after-dinner wine. You know, you just want the whole thing. You got to dig a little bit for yourself. Sometimes, man, it looks good getting that Greek and Hebrew. There's little interesting little nuggets in there sometimes. Really, eye-openers, like tares. King James, hallelujah. But we used to go at it all the time. And one time I was in a meeting, and he'd come up, and some friends of ours that were in our church at that time had kind of were kind of like, what do you call them, wannabe somethings? Anyway, so they invited him on their own to come up. And he always held his meetings at our home. And I said, well, that's fine, you know. So we're ready to go. And the Lord said, no. I said, come on, I haven't seen him in quite a while. No, you can't go. Well, it just so happened that this couple that we had so much trouble with, the tape man used to go to sleep. Lee would look over and says, well, I hope the tape's still running because the tape man just went to sleep. Well, they lived in a big apartment building, a huge tall one. In fact, it was the tallest building in Fremont. And they had a thing, like a family recreation room on top of it. And they'd talk them into letting them have it. Well, of course, all of them came. They all came, her and all her group. And after it was all over, they just took Lee apart. They just, four or five of them got around him and jumped on him, just. And then the Lord showed me why I didn't go, because there were men there. There were men there who should have stood up and said something. And if I'd have been there, I would have. He said, that's why he said, no, go. You just need to see. This is what's going on. Some men you think are men. When it gets down to this, they're not men. You need to know that. So when you go out with these people, you will not depend on them backing you up. You're on your own. Which was a good thing to know. One of them later on, we went to a meeting in San Francisco. I found out what he couldn't drive. He's afraid of the traffic. So my wife drove his car. Mark drove his car. I said, Lord, what is going on? Because, boy, when he's around people, he was, I'm the guy. I said, you know, Lord, you have ways of showing things when we're not even looking for them. You know, you protect us in so many ways if our eyes are open, if we're listening, if we're sensitive, if we don't get caught up with people. Now, here, Peter's, when he's speaking all this, he is pointing back to Exodus 19. Remember, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yet. They're pointing back to the Old Testament. And he says this, seeing you purified your souls, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all the flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore? Now, I was big on the Lord's church, about wherefores and therefores. And I used to just rattle them. If you ever see wherefore, therefore, go back and find out what it's there for. Because that's what it's pointing back. Go back and reread. So you'll know what's it there for? Why is talking this way? It says, wherefore, because of this, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and all the stuff you got going, all your envying, all your evil speaking, lay it aside. You know, we need sometimes just to take up and lay things aside. We want to battle them. Sometimes, like, just put the thing down. Get it out of your hand. You don't need it. It's not going to work here. It doesn't operate in this kingdom. When you operate here, you've stepped out of this kingdom, and now you're somewhere else. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be. And that's another key word. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There are many people that I've encountered that are saved, or say they're saved, I'll just say that, because they've never tasted that the Lord is good. I get nervous when somebody tells me, how long have you been saved? Oh, I've been a Christian forever. I said, that doesn't even compute. You were born in sin. How can you have been a Christian forever? I'm not kidding. You know, I'm saying, how could that happen? You were born in sin. You couldn't be a Christian then. And I'm real there when somebody says, I don't know when I was born. I was just there. I said, no, well, let me tell you, I know when it happened to me, brother. I know when it happened to me. I know where I was at. I know how bad a shape I was in. I was saying, 30 more years like this, I ain't doing. Now find me a drug that'll kill me. Now, that's where I was at. Everybody else was worried about taking this stuff and not getting back. I was worried about getting back. I said, you know what I really want, folks? I want to get so blasted, I get a smile on my face, they put me in whatever ward it is over there, lock the door and leave me, just leave me smiling. I just want out of here. I just, no more of this stuff, you know? Because I'd been a real bad guy for a long time, and I'd finally, I got no psychedelics. I became a good guy. I changed totally. And then all my friends started burning me. I couldn't believe it. They were stealing my stuff. I mean, my stuff. And I'm renting. I've got four guys living in my house, and I have a bedroom. I bought them a king-size mattress. That's big enough for four guys. And they were paying $20 a week, the four of them, to live there. What else can you do? I'm being real benevolent, you know? Really? And they stole my dope. I said, you know, all my life I've been burning people indiscriminately. In fact, I'd burn you better if you were a friend. When people got too close, I kind of had to get them away. And I could do that pretty good. Then I moved to the next group. Then pretty quick. And then I just moved around like that. I said, I'm being a good guy now. Everything should be nice. I'm trying to be nice to everybody. And finally, I had to give up my house. I was two blocks from the beach. I had an Afghan dog. I was living the life. I was having a great time. And I had to give it all up and go into a $50 a month room to get rid of these guys. They would move out. And then when I got saved, my goodness, the rumor. Well, yeah, and they used to call me Rick. That was my name in those days. Says, yeah, Rick, he went on a bad trip, man. He got on a religious trip. He'd never come back. To this day, he went out there. He just never came back. I'm thinking. I mean, I'm not on a trip. But they knew that's what happened. You know, he'd won too many tabs of acid and he's gone. I thought, gee. I mean, they refused to believe. I had a boss who was a Catholic, had never been in a Protestant church. Now, he wasn't a religious Catholic, but he was a Catholic. I mean, you know, he didn't go to church every now and then or whatever. And he did a lot of stuff. Anyway, but he went to a revival with me in a Pentecostal church. Never stepped foot in a church like it before. However, later he used to say, well, I don't care what you think. I remember you when. I remember when. I know how you were. Don't kid me. I know you had some kind of religious experience and you're not doing drugs, but I remember how you were. I said, okay. That's good. Whatever you want, brother. I'm just telling you, Jesus is the only way. There ain't four ways. There ain't two ways. It ain't take your pick. He's the only way. And if you don't go that way, you're going to hell. And Mary ain't going to be able to help you. That's all there is to that. It's simple. That's all. I don't think he was thinking Mary was going to help him anyway. But I mean, you know, forever, he never would change. My mother liked me better when I was unsaved. At least we had something in common. You know, I mean, I could go out, I could shoot pool in the bars and have a good time and fall down and all that. Because once I got saved, I talked about Jesus. They didn't like, you know, they just didn't like. It was all right the first couple of days. But I mean, the third or fourth time when, you know, I just said, no, you know, you need to know the Lord. I'm all right. I'm a Christian in my own way. I said, there ain't your own way. There's only one way. And it's Jesus. And I thought, man, what did he do to these people? You know? I often would ask a backslider, what made you get so mad at Jesus? What did he do that made you so mad at? Because I tell you, half the backsliders still believe in God. I can't understand they can still believe in God. But I said, what did he do to you? What happened to you and Jesus that made you turn away? I have a sister that she prays to God every day. But you don't want to mention the word of Jesus. And she was sold out. That's why I told you they threw her out of school for packing her Bible to school. They threw her out, kicked her out. The Catholics were the only one to take her in. But boy, today, I pray every day. Rick, you won't call me Richard. Anyway, I pray every day. I said, but Jesus, it's Jesus. But at least I go to church now. So I just say, Lord, one step at a time. You know, I give up trying to make them be right with God. I just pray, Lord, one step. Any step's a good step. I said, even if it's worse, it's a good step because maybe they got to get worse before they're going to get better. You know, lots of times we're trying to pray people out of things that God's trying to get them into so we can get them to a place where they finally cry out of desperation for Him. And we're trying to save them from that agony. And we do. We save them from being saved. All right. He says this. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming? And you know what I'm going to do, I think, with that verse? Amplify. We're going to get a little deeper here. Amplify. You like that, huh? Don't you, Fatty? Amplify it. I never knew we had this Bible. I gave it to my wife in 1973. Never knew we had it. Yeah, he says here, verse 2, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow into completed salvation. Since you already have tasted the goodness and the kindness of the Lord, come to Him then through that living stone, which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. Come, and as living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood, to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and well-pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. For thus it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a chosen, honored, precious, chief cornerstone. And he who believes in Him, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Him, shall never be disappointed. Did you hear that? Never be disappointed or put to shame. Never. As long as he stands with Him and not with the brethren or with the heathen. As long as he stands with Him, he will never be put to shame. He will not allow that to come to you. You can know defeat. Listen, you can know defeat because sometimes in some areas, the first one's got to be defeat. You have to die sometimes to the whole world before he gives success. Bob Reese Howe, the first one he defeated. Everybody said, well, he down the tube, didn't work. But he said, God said, you have to die to that one. Just die to it. Let him do it. Die. And then we can go on and you'll have success. And from then on, he didn't have a problem after that. But he said, the first one. Got to do something in you. There's something deeper needs to be done in you. Okay. To you who believe, who adhere to, trust and rely on, He's precious. But for those who disbelieve, it's true. The very stone which the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone. And a stone that will cause stumbling and a rock that will give men offense. They'll be offended by it. They stumble because they disobey and they disbelieve, God's word. As those who reject Him were destined and appointed to do. But you are a chosen race. One thing I learned early, we're spirit beings with a soul and a body. And we're always going to be spirit beings. We're a different race that was never before and will never be again. And you know what's amazing? There's a number to it. There's a number. There's only so many, 144,000. There's only so many that's going to be there, and it's a number. I love that. Otherwise, everybody will say, well, if I just hang around long enough, I'll finally get in. Or the ones that say, well, it ain't too bad in heaven, you know. Eons and eons, I'll finally be around to live with Paul because I'll just keep growing. I thought, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make sense. Well, it does to them because, see, it doesn't cost anything. It's free. Those people that paid it, you know, they paid it. They paid the price. I think it says in Revelation somewhere about those that were beheaded shall rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then the next sentence is scary. Because then it says, and as for the rest of the dead, the rest of the dead, later. So I don't know about everybody doing everything, you know. I know that looks like all the promises to me are to the overcomers. That first resurrection looks to me like Paul was trying to make it. I can't see where he thought he had a guarantee. He said, if by any means, I don't know if he knew about the 5 resurrections. He just said, if by any means I might make the resurrection of the dead. I'm striving, I'm pushing, I'm pressing to make it. I'm doing everything in my life I can. I'm giving up everything so that I can make that first resurrection. Well, he didn't say it was the first. He just said it was a resurrection. He probably didn't have that revelation yet. There's 9. You know, he just wanted to make the one Jesus was coming for. I do too. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you might set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, But now you are pitied and have received the mercy of God. Beloved, I implore you, as sojourners, strangers, and exiles in this world, and we need to get that in our head, where our citizenship really is. Really. I think God is going to call us to account for that. One day, we're going to have to be either citizens of this earth or citizens of heaven. One of the two. I really believe that. I really believe that. I think He's going to challenge us there. You know, we had this saying about, we had some Democrats that were Christians, and we had some Christians who were Democrats. We had some Republicans who were Christians, and we had some Christians who were Republicans. And there was a world of difference between the two. Because whatever is first, that's who you really are. And we find lots of times in our ranks that there are people who are more political than they are Christian. They're more concerned about how the election comes out than the fact that God said, I put kings up and I take them down. We're thinking somehow we're going to change things. God says, I do what I want to do. I made the rules for you folks. I didn't make them for me. We don't like that. See, because we still want to kind of, the word says you got to do this. He must really get tickled by that. What was that you said? Job, what was that? Can you tell me about how the whales came into being or something? Give me some insight. Then we'll talk. We're throwing things up, hoping somehow something will work. But God says, no, I'm not bending and I'm not bowing. Now, we're saying all this for a purpose. You've made them, Revelation 5:10. And if you're not in NIV, folks, I'm afraid you missed the boat. Okay? It's the only fruit translation. I don't even have it. But, I mean, I know what it says. Of all the translations, I got the wrong ones. But anyway, it's the only one that's right. And I'll tell you why. Because it's the only one that quotes Exodus 19. Revelation 5:10. It's the only one, and they're all from there. That's the only reverence they had. But it's the only one that goes back there. The rest of them say, you're kings and priests. He never promised them kings and priests. He promised them to be a kingdom of priests. And you belong to the royal family. Sure, and so do princes and a whole lot of people that are blood related belong there. Did you ever think, how many relatives Noah lost in the flood? Think about it. Think he might have had any uncles or cousins? Remember these people, they had sons and daughters, and then they had the one we're talking about, and then they went on and had sons and daughters for hundreds of years. I was wondering about that the other day. I said, man, I wonder how many people may have been relatives of his that didn't get in. They were cursing him and telling him he was nothing. And I can understand it. 120 years and nothing's happened. As far as we know, it never rained. A mist came up from the earth. It never rained. What's rain? You know, a flood. How are you going to get your boat to water? You know, all those things. I mean, he went through some things. He didn't have his family wasn't all that holy either. But he went through because he heard the voice of God. When God spoke, he knew it wasn't an option. It wasn't if you'd like to. Could you do this for me? It was build an ark. I'll bring the animal, you bring him in. I wonder how far they had, I wonder what kind of a land they would live, how forested was it? How far did they have to go to get their timber? Man, they had to cut all those boards by hand. A lot of work. And everybody standing around, it was just like it was there at Jericho on the wall. About the fourth day, they were throwing rocks and tomatoes and everything else at them. You know, you people are nuts. You're just doing nothing. You're just digging a hole for yourself. But then the last day, see, didn't look any different to them either. But see, in God's time, God says, now's the time. And that's how it's going to be for some of you. Some of you that God's spoken things to you years and years ago, and they haven't come to pass. I mean some certain things that haven't come. And it was God. I'm not talking about deception. But He's spoken things, and they never come to pass. Listen, in God's time, they will come to pass, and you do not have to make them come to pass. You do not. But I'm telling you, when God says it's going to happen, you have a hard time getting out of the way. I mean, I'm here. I'm living. Really. God showed us some things almost 40 years ago, right up at 40 years, that never happened. And then here I am, and I'm seeing little glimpses of things. I'm saying, who would ever thought I'd ever talk to more than 10 people? I mean, and here we are on the internet. Who would ever thought 3 or 4 years ago we'd ever be on the internet? You know, I mean, but here we are. God just, when it's God's timing, He just opens it up and says, how did we get here? How did this happen? I wasn't doing anything special. I wasn't pushing and pressing and trying to get in. And all at once, the door opens. And there I am. And I don't know how in the world I got here. I look back and I can see how God got me here. How He moved me here and moved me there. And I thought I was making all these big decisions and He was just moving me around. It's kind of this way, that way, and this way. But then He finally got me here. I mean, it took a long way around, but He got me here. And in the midst, He enabled me to be fruitful and to have change in my life. Now, we're going to go to the second part of my program. You're not going to get to the first. Now, this used to, Ada says I have to tell you, people on the internet, this used to be white chalk 35 years ago or more. It was white chalk, anyway. But I left it in the storage room so it faded, so I only had black. I tried yellow, but it didn't do very good. In fact, it didn't do anything. It just didn't do anything. Anyway, and I got my pointer, my laser pointer, that broke, and I had to chaw off a thing and... Yeah. Well, don't get crazy here. All right. This is a picture of the tabernacle, for those of you who don't know. I mean, it really is. This is what it is. It doesn't look like it, but it is. Anyway, now, here's what happened. Acts 15, God restored His presence. Here's what His intention was. You get saved, get baptized in water, and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you've had day one. You don't got to tarry like Brother Elwood tarried 4 years, because in those days, they were taught and they believed that the longer you tarried, the more powerful your baptism was going to be. He says, here I am, 4 years. He says, now they just come out, be baptized in Jesus, and they just go, whoo. He said, you know how painful it was to tarry? 4 years. But that was never God's intention. God's intention, here's how this thing works. This thing works. And it's not for you. Okay. This is the kingdom of darkness out here, all around here. You come through here with salvation, and you come to the brazen altar. And that's where the blood was. That's where the blood was cut. That's where you get saved. You come in out of this place. Now, His intention was for you to come in, get baptized in water here delivered, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and go into here. That was His intention. That's what God had on His mind. However, we didn't have that on our minds. I'll do fundamental. How's that better? Fundamental. I want to do evangelical. The problem we had is a lot of people got right around here and they liked it so well that they begin to pitch their tents around in here, all over little spots. Pitch a tent here, pitch a tent here. I'm saved. I'm baptized in water. Hallelujah. I got it. They don't realize that the only people that ever got in this water were priests. It wasn't for the people, it was for the priests. So we camped out here. We got people camped all around here. Well, we're in the kingdom. We're fine. But I don't think so. Not the kingdom He's talking about, because the kingdom He's talking about is a kingdom of priests. And to be a priest, you have to go into here, into this building, to the holy place. You have to go in. This is where the priests minister. They minister to God in here. They minister to the people out here. Well, we camped out. We tended all over. There's people tended all over. It's sad. So then, you get the people that are hungry. And they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're in here. Then you find out here, in here, their enemies were out here. Those are the people giving a bad time. And then when they get in here, they find out the real problem they're having isn't with these people, it's with these people. Yeah, did you know the last move of God always curses the next move of God? Always. I mean, Don knows the place. I was in his church one time, and this Pentecostal pastor got up there, and he was singing in the Spirit. Oh, it was beautiful. But he wasn't being beautiful. He was mocking it and mimicking it. Oh, yeah, he wouldn't do that. Oh, he's a hallelujah, brother. That's how he did it. But I mean, he was beautiful. Oh, he was, but he was not nice at all. And he died alcoholic, by the way. He managed to do that. Had his bottle stashed. Nobody knew where it was at. Until when he died from cirrhosis of the liver. And he didn't get it for not drinking. But he mimicked it. Now, God, if you camp here, God is going to put a calling in your life to come up higher. Jesus said, and you can debate me, I don't care. He said in John 3, he said this. You must be born again, right? Of water. To be able to what? What does that word say? See the kingdom. Then he says you've got to be born of water and the Spirit to be in the kingdom. Because in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says we offer up spiritual sacrifice. That's not high-minded prayers. That's prayers in the Spirit. That's the prayers of the Holy Spirit going up to God and getting things done. Because when He prays, things get done. He don't have prayers that maybe. His prayers do things. Now, and then we have the ministry in here. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit to minister. We have the table showed by the living bread. And we have praise and worship here. Praise and then worship. Now, I left out one scripture, but I can pretty well quote it. God's intention is always to come here. He always wants us here. And personally, this is where we really come beyond here into His presence. Who was the saying? Where we're in a place where there's no time. Time ceases. And we come out and we found out, my goodness, I can't believe I've been here 2 hours. How did that happen? But time ceases in there. Now, that's always calling. Now, they lost it all. They had it all in the beginning. They lost it all. First, they lost this. Then they lost this. And then they lost their salvation. And they went to the dark ages. And then with Martin Luther, God began to restore. Justification by faith. Open this gate back up again. Begin to open it up. Then up in here, they had the holiness movement. And then in here, we had Azusa Street. Actually, the Wales Revival went where it started. But anyway, we had it here. And that brought this room back into existence. Now, these all signify people. Here, and I'm just going to give you some of these things for some of you who don't know them, and I'm not saying don't know them because you don't know anything, but just maybe you haven't heard this stuff. Out here you have the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies, right here. You got 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Israel, Jerusalem, Mount Zion. Now, you belong in Israel, you're an Israelite. If you live in Jerusalem, you're an Israelite, but you're also a citizen of Jerusalem. But if you live up here, you're an Israelite, you live in Jerusalem, and you're also one of those that live on Mount Zion. You got it all three. Here you have servants, and where we're talking about, what Jesus used to talk about, for hire. They got out of here to get out of hell, and they like it right here, and they want to go to heaven. Here they have friends. Servants, friends, sons. Okay? Now, I'm trying to keep it simple. Now, we're in a move. God's not only restoring the building, He's restoring the people. He's taking a group of people somewhere. I'm always amazed that the worst church in Revelation 2 and 3 got the best offer. I mean, the lowliest ones, He offered them everything. I said, how can that happen? He says, because that's the way I am. I'm just that way. I don't say, oh, you're fourth grade, you get better stuff. You know, you can get better stuff. He said, no, this guy, you can get it all from wherever you are. It doesn't make any difference. I've been saved a million times. Every time I think I'm out, save me, Jesus, because I know where this thing's going. If I don't repent and get right, it's going to take me to a bad place. Save me again. Make me right. I don't want to be out of fellowship with you. You know, so many times we're out of fellowship with God. We're just going along doing all this Christian stuff, but we're not in fellowship. We're just out there somewhere. So He's restoring people. You had here, then you had the here, and then up in here we had the charismatic movement. Praise and the beginnings of worship came up in here. He restored that. There's an interesting thing. One of the most interesting things that I've ever read in the Word of God is right here. What happened right here. You'd think the writer of the Hebrews had an inkling of what he was talking about. You'd think. You think you get the furniture right. However, I can read that. However, he just didn't get it right. He was close, but I don't even know where it's at anymore. Anyway, trying to think here. It's the one I should have got. Anyway, you can look it up, it's written. What he did, contrary to all reason, he has this piece of furniture in the Holy of Holies. It's not in the outer court where it was at. That's where it resided. He's moved it in there. And what this shows to us is that God is taking a people from here. He's taking them through here, bringing them into praise, and then worship. Because remember, what is God seeking in John 4? Only thing He's seeking in the Bible. Worshipers. God, Father, is seeking worshipers. The worship of Him in spirit and truth. That's what He's seeking. So from praise, you come into worship. And then He's going to bring a body of people into here to be with Him. This is a Joseph coming. This is really the double portion coming. These are the ones that it said when Jacob prophesied about Joseph, that he would feed over the wall. His vines would go over the wall. They will feed these people here. Who will feed these people out here? Now, in Annie's visions, she has that. We're in a place that there's this storm that's coming. I think it's already here. I thinking this morning, I said, you know, I don't think it's a hurricane. You think hurricanes. I think it's a tsunami. I really think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a tsunami. Don's a good friend and was very close to us. His mother in American Samoa lost his mother in that thing that happened. And here's the letter that the two brothers wrote to me. Well, you know what happened. The first wave came and something went out. And then the first wave came and everything was fine. Says then that wave went out and she said, Louis says, and you know, Mom, she saw all those fish laying down on the shore. And you know, Mom was down there picking up them fish. And here come the second wave and took her home. I mean, that's what they believe. You know, Mom, she sees them fresh fish flopping around down there. There ain't no way she's not going after them fish. Well, when this thing comes, there ain't no place to go. No place to go. But God is going to bring a people in here. Now, this curtain is... There are people, I believe, that are in this curtain already. Now, if you remember that once a year, the high priest went in to this Holy of Holies, just once a year. But, not without another sacrifice. And that speaks to us of a much, much, much deeper cleansing that's going to take place to come into here. And I think there's people right now today, I really believe, are in this curtain. And they're being pressed. I think some of them are being pressed, not by things that were any different than before. But man, they're really being pressed like they'd never been pressed before. Like, there's no way out. But see, you have to walk in here. You don't, your heart draws you into this place. It isn't some place where He says, I'm drafting you. You go there because your heart, you can't stay away. You just can't keep from going in, even though you know this is going to be the end and the beginning. He wants a people in here that He can move through in the earth in these last days. They're going to preach. You know, Lee used to tell me, he'd say, you know, Richard says, you know how bad it's going to get? And I said, not really, but I'm sure bad. He said, it's going to get so bad those denominational churches are going to ask us holy folks people to come in and give them hope. It's going to get that bad. I said, that's bad. He says, yes. And he said, it'll get so bad. They're going to be so void of the truth, so void of the Word of God, of life, that they're going to look for anybody that they think might have it to come and speak to them and try to impart something to them. God is moving. Now, this is a program. This is a thick veil. He will come after your motives, your attitudes. You don't have to worry about, is this going to be true? You don't have to worry about sin in here. Sin, we've been dealing with this pretty well, you know, out blatant sin, doing your own thing is pretty much killed right in here. When you really become a worshiper, that stuff just kind of loses its importance. But in here, He's going to deal with attitudes. I say this all the time, you know, God's much more interested in why you do what you do than He is in what you do. He wants to deal with why do you do it. Like, I'm always in deliverance this way. Man, let's get the root. Once the root's gone, we don't got to worry about that tree anymore. But as long as that root's there, you pick the apples off, everything's fine. Winter comes, I'm dancing, having a good time. Spring comes, and things are getting flowers on it, blooms, and pretty quick I got more apples. I can't figure out, how do them apples get under again? Man, we got all rid of them apples, and that's what we got rid of. We got rid of all them symptoms. And now the real deal's back again. You know, how many times do you see that in your own life? In and out, over and over. Say, God, there's got to be an end to this thing. And there's got to be an end to you too. Now, we're going to go to step number two. Three. This one I haven't done before here, but I want to do this because I think it has something to do with where all of us, because I know every one of you is in the meat grinder. I know you are. You wouldn't be here. If you were doing real good, you wouldn't be here, you know. You're miserable, you know, you're hurt, and things aren't going right. So you want relief, at least. And deliverance would be nice, but at least give me some relief. I want to be able to do better than I'm doing. I'm not happy with my life the way it is with God. That's good. That's a good thing. If you're happy, I'd start praying for you. Because I'm found out in this economy, when you're feeling good and it's all good, there might be something wrong. I haven't found God to be that kind of God that He just patched under. Come on, we'll just walk along, have a great time. There's bricks and all kinds of people. Listen, people are throwing stuff at Him. If you walk very close to Him, going to get hit. These people I used to have this conflict with, I had a vision, a real vision. And it was, they grabbed us. Heathens, they grabbed us, and they threw it against a wall because we were Christian, going to kill us. And they were stoning us. And she was standing right next to me. And the Lord said, see, when they start throwing rocks, it won't make any difference about your spiritual differences. They won't mean nothing. You're both Christians. You need to die. So you can let go of some of those things you're doing and not be so confrontational all the time. And I tried. Here's the thing the Lord showed us a long time ago. But I think, and I never showed it here, but I think it's relevant. This is how things work in God's economy. This is a thing that He showed us, long, 35 years ago, probably 40. I don't know, long time. This is how God's economy works. It's a beautiful thing. We start out in here, and God will give you a revelation. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you've been walking on water. He'll give you a revelation of something. And then, you take a hold of things, and get a hold of this revelation, you hold on to it, you don't let go of it. And He will take you through some experiences that make that revelation yours. It'll be yours. And then, you grab the next one. You don't just grab something. You wait till one comes. You rest. Let me tell you. When you get here, stand up, rest. Because the next one, it's going to be a little farther. It's going to be a little harder. Like going through grades. But you don't have to do it. He will bring them to you. Now, I have to get this in here. There's another way to do it. We had some real experience with some people who are into this stuff. These people, I can get them nothing. They take a hold of it, but they make their ascent by mental ascent. They don't go through the experiences. That's the devil. They don't even bother with them. Mentally, they go up. Both of them are going up, doing pretty good. They both get up here. Now, the problem is, if you can see, this is an open space. The person who's done it through mental ascent, they can't even get to here. There's no way they're too far away. They can't get there. All this, listen, the Lord showed me this. This, He said, this is, I kind of wrote it wrong, but anyway, this is Mount Zion. This is God's heart. You look through the scripture and see what God's heart is. God's heart is Mount Zion. He loves Mount Zion more than any piece of land in this world. Maybe in the universe. He loves that. He loves it. It's His heart. But this, it's more than His heart. This is a people. Mount Zion is a people. This is persecution. What this does, and I think it's so right on the money for the time we're coming into, this prepares you to be able, this is a side to the north. This is where Satan wanted to walk. But he couldn't walk there because he never paid a price for nothing. How could he ever walk here? He's never paid nothing. He won't pay nothing. He's full of pride. But this prepares us to walk across these hot coals. To Mount Zion. And this is persecution. And that's just how it was. It's just persecution. This is a side to the north. And the only way to get here is to walk across this. And nobody ever got here that didn't walk across this. And I'm going to bring a whole group of people across here. Everybody's going to come across this thing that will let me prepare them. Now, in Annie's visions, which you read some of, anyway, there's a storm coming. A big storm on all the earth. And there's two kinds of people in the storm, actually. There's the people who went through and God brought them above the storm. And they're walking on top of the storm and they have direct communication with God. I mean, the voice, the heavens are open. They're just communicating, and it's wonderful. The other people, they're under the storm. They got no communication because the storm's blocking them. They cannot, God cannot get through. The communication they get is from the people because the people who are on top of the storm are still here. The communication they're getting then is from the people who are walking above it. And they're dependent upon them. However, the people on top of the storm are also dependent on these people. I don't know what all that's about, but they're both interdependent on each other. Now, what Annie said was, if you got a choice, get above the storm. You don't want to be under it. You want to be above it. You want to get your bid in early, pay early. Tell him I'm in. You know, there's two stages to this cleansing, and I'm gonna finish with this. There's two stages to cleansing. I used to work in a foundry. Well, it lasted about a week. Anyway, I was a skimmer, and they bring the pot out, and these guys were making the molds. I finally became a mold maker, but I had some other problems that, you know, the problem was I didn't want to work. Anyway, but we did this thing, and I skimmed the stuff, and it was amazing. It was amazing to me. I never forgot it. I was not a Christian at the time. But how, as the heat got higher, stuff would start floating to the top. This was what we make molten steel. It would start coming to the top. Not all at once, just a little bit. The hotter it got, the more would come. Man, isn't that amazing? And I had this wooden skimmer that was always burning up. And I would scrape it off. And the water would get, more would come up. And pretty quick, you could just see it clear. It was just clear. Wow. Nothing, there's nothing there, not a speck anymore. Because they couldn't have specks, because specks would make holes. When they put them in these molds, they had these real weak spots in them. And they didn't want them. Now, there's a scripture, I don't know if I got that in there or not, I may not have. Wouldn't be surprised, it wouldn't surprise me a lot if I didn't. Yes, I did. There's a scripture. There's two kinds. I might have looked at it. Well, maybe I didn't. There's two kinds. Okay. The first one, that's the pot. It burns out all that dross. That's the first thing they do. And especially with gold. They get rid of everything out of all the impurities is gold. But again, when they're going to make whatever they're going to make, they have to fire it again. And the scripture says, here it says, behold, there's another verse in there, and I didn't get it down. It talks about the pot and the furnace, two different things. Here he says, they went through the pot already. He says, you have made them to be a. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have made you what I wanted to make you into. In the furnace of affliction. That's a different one. Is in your discipline, and he's burning this stuff out of you and bringing it to the top and getting rid of it. And the next one he says is right up in here, where if I can get it right up in there, where all the stuff's coming at you, you know. But on the other hand, the life of God is coming out. And she said, he is going to give something to these people who want it. She said, it's almost like a deception. He says, so glorious, but it is going to provoke such a rage in the enemy. Such a rage against it. It's almost like deceiving. He says, but it's so good, the people don't care. Because it's so glorious, what's going to come out of them. Without doing anything, not trying to be anybody. Just being you. And this goodness is going to come out. And some people it's going to draw like a magnet. And some people are going to run. And some people are going to fight. Because they cannot stand to be close and see this goodness in a human being, because it shows them where they're going. It shows them there's no hope. Because they do not want what God has to offer them. He's bringing a place. Peter said this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were in a Bible study, and I'm done. We had about, Oh, we had about 200 people in this study. Anyway, it was a church. They had the church, and then they had a sanctuary, and then they had a divider, and they had Sunday school class over there, and we were too loud, and because we had a worship time, and this brother taught by a threat of revelation, and he wouldn't allow him to take a head count, he wouldn't allow him to take an offering, because he says, once I lose that, we just dismiss the class, I doesn't come back. God gives me a thread, and I follow the thread. And we got too loud for them, so they threw us out. So they put us in this other building down the basement, and we had about 200 people down there. Half of them, when you had to leave one building to go to the main sanctuary for church, when half of the people, when they got out of that building, they went, got in their cars, and went home. That was their church. Literally, I mean, a lot of young people, I mean, young adults, they just went on home. That was church. They said, nothing in here. It's all here. But he used to teach this way. So one day, we're in there, Tony and our son, and we used to get there. He used to get there at 8, we'd get there at 8:15. And by 9:30, people would start coming in. And we were already having a great time when they got there, and the presence of the Lord was there. And he just let it go until it was over. When it was over, he'd teach something if God gave him something. If not, he didn't worry about it. He didn't care. Because he said, it's not us that's doing it. It's God that's doing it. If we can get in that place with him, don't leave, stay. You know, who knows? Maybe that's all God wants. Maybe he's not interested in your word. All he wants is to be able to have this thing with, like tonight, have this thing with his people. Love with them. Where he's getting a response, where the love isn't just one way. Because he's always loving us. He's trying to get us to where we're in a place close enough to where we can really express our love back to him for real. Not just, I love you, but for real, an expression coming from the heart. Anyway, so I was in there, and we were waiting on the Lord one morning. And this is not nothing about me. He's just showing me this thing. And I saw this great expanse, like, you know, like where you look at the stars and stuff. And in the middle of this thing, it's so strange, was this mantle. You know, like, of course, where the days we come from, everybody had a fireplace. We had a mantle. And it was this big mantle on it. And on top of this mantle were these figurines, like wooden figurines. And they were gorgeous. Man, they had life. They were, I mean, I was looking at them and said, how could I ever make those? They're just so gorgeous. And the Lord spoke and he said, these are my special prizes. No, he said, these are my special figurines. These are my special figurines. And I said, wow. And then over here on the side is the Holy Spirit. And I don't see the Holy Spirit, but I know it's the Holy Spirit. And he reaches over and he picks up this piece of wood. It's a piece of wood. And then he reaches over and he picks up this knife. And then he goes like this. And I felt a cut right here. Down through me. I mean, a cut like somebody really cut me out there. And then I understood. Those are the people he's working on. So these are my specials. I display these before the universe. They're my special ones because they've let me work and work and I've completed them and they're perfect. And I thought, my. To think that God would offer something like that to people as low as us, to nothings, to nobodies. We're not like the great ones of the world. We're really the nothings and the nobodies because the great one's not interested. We're just people. But to think that God would offer that to us, and then we sit around and debate about whether we want to do it or not. I think God's got a call here. I wouldn't be saying, I don't think I've ever shared this thing more than once or twice ever in all these years. But I really felt to tonight because I think God has got some people in here, you know, he's dealing with, and you know who you are. You can't hide. No, stop hiding. Stop hiding. Give it up. You know, you don't want to get up there and have him show you what you missed. I mean, when he showed Reese Howell, you know what you missed? You missed a martyr's crown. Good gravy. How better does it get? And Reese was going on the rest of the day. He said, hoping I was going to die. Kill me. Let me die. He said, no. He said, how about this, Reese? Huh, Diane? How about I'll just make you a living martyr? And we're just going to martyr you the rest of your life. And is that what he did? He martyred him the rest of his life. He became a living martyr. Outside the Word of God, probably the greatest story I ever read was his biography. Just overwhelmed. I couldn't believe it. Changed my life. Just changed me. I never believed that God could be so intimate with a person. But he is. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for helping me so that I didn't stumble too bad here. Just, you know, You know my heart, Lord. I cry for people, Lord. I don't want to see anybody not get the best you have. I don't want to see anybody not get what you want them to have. Do a work in each one of us, Lord. We're not here by chance. No matter where we are spiritually, we're not here by chance. You're going to do some very quick works in these last days. You're going to raise up some people. And listen, Lord, I know, and I'm going to say it, it don't make any difference how old you are. I don't like this thing, Father, and you know it. Or the new young, forget that. You know that? God can do anything to anybody. He's just looking for some pipes that are willing. Lord, you're looking for pipes that are willing to let you flow through and clean us out and do your work. You can do more, Father, in 30 seconds than we can do in a lifetime. Help us, Jesus, just to quit fighting you. Not to surrender all, just to surrender once and for all. Let the war be over between you and us, Lord, so we're not fighting you every step of the way. I don't want to be like Mumford, who said he knew how he got across the promise, across the wilderness, because he could tell he's making spiritual progress, because he could see his heel marks. I don't want to be in that place. I want to walk with you, Lord. And I know each one of these here do, Lord, or they wouldn't be here. This is not the place you go to have a good time. They came here, Lord, because they want to change it in their life. They want to get rid of garbage and stuff so that they can serve you better, Lord. Touch each one of them, Lord. Move in each one of their lives. Cause them to be more than they ever thought they could be, Lord. Give them peace. Give them rest. And change us, Lord. Change us, Father, and we will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.